My name is Jonathan Allred. I am a PhD student at Cornell University, and some of the work that I've been doing, as I'm going to present on here today, is looking at Albion and Cabrillo strawberries under supplemental HPS, LED, and ambient light in Ithaca, New York. So when we think about the strawberry market as a whole, we really think about California. You know, they're number one. They are by far number one at about 88% of market share. And they produce year-round, essentially, and have a relatively lower value per hundredweight of crop. Now, as you know, some of the issues with California has been arising is disease management problems, potential environmental changes, and so even California has been looking at strawberry cultivation under other means. Now, when we look at New York, where the research that I did was conducted, we are number eight, but a far number eight, less than 1% of the U.S. market. And because that's a higher value, we'd have, we serve local markets, perennialized plants. But as with most areas and trends right now, there's a demand for off-season availability of crops that are produced locally. And so New York is also quite unique as that there's been a large investment in controlled environment agriculture over the years, particularly as it relates to lettuce and tomatoes. So we were looking at strawberries as a potential niche crop for growers to be able to produce in the region. So first of all, some of the questions we want to ask is, do day-neutral strawberries need supplemental light for off-season production in the Northeast? And then from there, we break that down and we look at, does the source of the supplemental light have an influence? And does the month of the year that it is applied play a role in terms of these factors? And so to answer those, we looked at marketable yield, marketable berry size, berry number, and sugar content, or Brix values. So the experimental design, we had two cultivars that we looked at, Albion and Cabrillo strawberries. Both are day neutrals that came out of the UC Davis breeding program. We had 30 plants per cultivar per treatment and spaced at 10.8 plants per meter squared, approximately one plant per square foot. We had two separate temperature set points, one for establishment and one for fruiting. Essentially, the big difference is for establishment, we had a smaller difference between the day and night temperature to promote more vegetative growth initially, and then widen that difference for fruiting. To keep it simple, we did a single bag formulation of fertilizer at 125 milligrams per liter of nitrogen, a little bit of added iron, and supplied through constant liquid feed. And then the establishment phase itself was 2 months, followed by 5 months of harvest data from January through May. And so what's important to note is that the data is analyzed on a harvest interval, so there's two harvests per week, so that's how we'll be representing the data. And for the lit treatments, what we used was an algorithmic control program that essentially kept a three-day average of 15 moles per square meter per day of light under the two lighting treatments, and a maximum allowed photo period of 20 hours per day. And then we had to go and define what the marketable berry standards are. So we essentially did U.S. number one or better. We did greater than or equal to 10 grams, a diameter of 1.9 centimeters or larger, more than 90% red, and no visual defects. So again, this is fitting a local market, a niche crop to provide locally. The experimental design itself, well, pretty simple. We had ambient light in a greenhouse in Ithaca, New York, glass greenhouse. We had just night interruption lighting to make sure that during the winter months we were trying to mimic long days and that photo period would not have an effect. And had an average across all 5 months of 11.64 moles of light. The LED was supplemental LED, which was supplemental HPS had the background of solar light. So we had that kept at 15.37 moles, utilizing the 9010 top lights from Philips. And then the HPS averaged 14.91, but there was no difference across the months in terms of significance between the HPS and LED. Here we can just see spectroradiometer output values. The top one is for ambient light and a clear day, no clouds in the sky. And then the LED and HPS would just be stacked on top of that as further additional supplemental light. And these are just some images of the actual the setup. So, from looking at this point forward, these graphs here, the ones that are looking at month-to-month trends within a cultivar, as well as cultivars compared or treatments compared to each other within a month, this is all for Albion. Cabrillo, we didn't put in the data, it was just too much. So this is all for Albion. And so it's evaluated on a fresh weight in grams per meter squared per harvest interval. And what we can see off the bat really is the ambient treatment sticks out. You can see that it increases over time significantly as the months increase from January to through May, and that HPS is keeping, there's no significant difference, but we do see this difference under LED. Now for the ambient, it went through 6.6 times increase in yields from January up until May. And then what we also see is that as that light level increased under the ambient, we got no significant difference between the ambient and HPS that occurred at March. And by May, there was no difference with LED. So once the light levels were about the same, around 15 moles, there was no difference there. So now I'm going to introduce a little bit of the Cabrillo data just to show the difference between Albion and Cabrillo and the yield differences between those under the average across all months for these. So ambient, LED, and HPS were all significantly different from each other, with Cabrillo significantly outperforming Albion. And so we can see 97% greater Cabrillo for ambient, 57% for LED, and 90% for HPS. The chart at the bottom, that shows the sum across all months for the harvest, so in kilograms per meter squared. So for example, Albion under LED had 3.7 kilograms per meter squared of harvestable product, which is reminiscent or characteristic of the lower light level that we had at 15 moles. So marketable berry number also followed a very similar trend, except the degree of difference was more pronounced. Here we have 8.8 times as much from January through May for ambient. Again, HPS is not significantly different between the months, and LED, we see that same trend. However, for the total berry count per meter squared per harvest, we have an even greater degree of difference, so 8.8 times up from the 6.6. And we ultimately, they were equivalent. Ambient was equivalent to HPS by April, and it never caught up to LED. And again, here's the difference between the two cultivars within the different treatments. Now we have no significant difference in the berry number per harvest and under ambient, but we maintain the significant difference underneath the two lit treatments. So the marketable berry size is also quite interesting. The ambient and LED, or the ambient and HPS and LED, were all significantly different from each other, significant within the months. However, that was mostly offset by one month that triggered that result. So we see a very consistent result between ambient and HPS relatively, and we see this decreasing over time with LED. And what we think is that this is source sink limitation, as we had overall higher yields under LED, and the relatively lower light caused the increased number of berries. Each berry got smaller over time. And we can see that, as we go through So the marketable berry size comparing ambient, the two cultivars to each other, we have significant difference, but the degree of the difference is not that great, only 16% larger. So the total berry size is not that difference between the two. So now I've been talking a lot about data, but I haven't included any pictures. This is just one representative harvest on May 3rd. And you can see within Albion, we have ambient, HPS, and LED compared to one another. And you can see that we have much lower yields under ambient and increases to a little bit more under HPS and then most under LED. Cabrillo is by far a lot more higher yields. And then within each cultivar comparing, or within each treatment comparing the two cultivars to one another, you can see the difference. So the marketable berry Brix values, here we have, you can see it increasing over time with light levels for ambient, but with the light being kept consistent across the two light treatments, there's no significant difference between the months there. But we still do see the difference between the treatments, so HPS was significantly higher than the rest later on in the treatments. Ambient started to catch up over time, and then by May, there was no difference between the treatments for ambient or for Albion. This is where it really takes the shift. So when we work with growers or talk with growers about choosing a cultivar to work with, you can see that Cabrillo outperforms in terms of berry number and total yields, but has a lower sugar content in comparison. So that's something that can be quite significant. And this is not just measurable with Brix, it's also very measurable to the human palate as well. So about very consistent, about 27% to 30% difference between across the treatments. So in summary, the addition of supplemental light can significantly improve yield and fruit quality attributes of the two cultivars, even though we didn't go through in detail on Cabrillo. The supplemental light source does play a significant role in the yield and fruit quality attributes with the two cultivars. And there is interesting month-to-month variability, even though there's a consistent DLI, which is something we want to investigate. And so, also the highest yields for Cabrillo, but it was also the lowest Brix values. And so some ongoing research is replications. As first and foremost, this is more preliminary data off of a first harvest, so we need to continue to do more, and that'll beef up the analysis and also allow us to look at the interaction models on a month-to-month basis and a total over the entire harvest period rather than looking at the individual harvests within months. And then titratable acidity as well as phenolic analysis is data we're currently processing and looking at from the berries from this. And aromatic compounds are another facet of interest that we want to investigate. And so just some other work is some DLI by CO2 interactions as it relates to fruiting. We've done some work with vegetative, but now we're looking at that for fruiting. And red, blue, and far red ratios on flowering gene expression is some other future work. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer.
Jonathan, here in the last slide, you mentioned that month-to-month variation, even though you have the same DLI across those months. Can you speculate what the causation of that is?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. So what we saw in the data was that there is this month-to-month variability, more focused under LED than what we saw under HPS. HPS was not significantly different for the majority of that. And so it might have something to do with the relationship between the spectral distribution, as HPS is a more complete spectrum than we see under the 90 red, 10 blue, and that having an influence, some sort of interaction between what we're getting from the sun as we start to get the longer days, less cloudy days. But it's something that we need to, number one, with replication, see if that starts to clean up the data and if that changes. But if it doesn't, then we can start investigating in potential interactions between the sources of light and the distribution. So
we have one more minute, one question.
Yes.
Was the temperature the same? Is it then the question for air temperature and for flower temperature?
Air temperature was the same. Oh, sorry. Was there a temperature difference between the treatments, be it air and then also plant canopy? Air was the same, but the plant canopy was slightly higher under the HPS. In some cases, it was up to 2 degrees centigrade difference higher.
We have 30 seconds for one short question.
This may not be part of your purpose, but with the decrease in fruit size, you said in the LED, could that have been compensated by adding more fertilizer?
I think it had more to do with the light levels than it would have to do with the fertilizer. The fertilizer regime, I think I would say it's more have to do with the light, the total limitation of being only 15 moles versus a less standard. All right.